Recording. All right. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy tonight. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your power, the power that only comes forth from you. We now, Father, ask that you would resonate in our spirits and in our hearts. Give us the wisdom and the revelation that we need in order to go forth, in order to do the things that you have called for us to do. We believe that this night is anointed. We believe tomorrow is anointed. We believe that Friday will be anointed. It is a good Friday. Why? Because it is the day that Jesus prepared himself to go to the cross for us, to die on the cross for us, to shed blood for us, to have excruciating pain go throughout his human body, so that we might have the benefit of overcoming any pain that we experience in this life. We thank you right now for the blood of Jesus. We thank you right now for the resurrection power that resonated in him as he got up out of the grave, conquering death. We believe that we too have the ability to conquer death. What does that mean? That means that we have the ability to not only, when our time is up in this mortal body, to leave it, but we have the opportunity to live forever with you. When we receive you, we live forever with you. We conquer death. There is no death in you. And so we thank you so much for being who you are. And Father, we just love you tonight. And we ask that you would just allow these points to resonate in our spirit. May we write them down. May we get acquainted with them. And may we be empowered to humble ourselves before you in a unique way, in a different way, in a way in which we have not as a ministry. We want to humble ourselves before you and give you our all. Seek your face in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. So tonight, let's start with point number one.
Okay.
Point number one. Is this the focus area number one? We will be seeking Friday to gain victory against the enemy, to gain victory against the enemy. Now, the order that I'm going to give you these is not necessarily the order that we're going to focus in on them on Friday. However, all nine of these areas will be focal points. We've broken it down into 3 8-hour periods. And during the 3 8-hour periods, there are going to be three things that we're going to focus on during each 8-hour span. So once again, my expectation is that it's not that everybody, I know some of you have things to do. Some of you are going to be working. Some of you are going to be resting, things of that nature. So it is not my expectation that you would be on the entire time. However, if you want to leave your feed on, and I would recommend that you do that, that you leave your feed on and that you leave your device plugged in that you can hear and know what's going on and you know, be muted, you know, and you don't have to have your picture up unless you're participating in some way. So I would ask that you would try to hang out with us as long as you can. Even while I'm resting, I'm going to have my feet on. Well, I have to. If I don't have my feet on, I'll take everybody else out. So I need to have my feet on. But I will be resting, but I will be off camera, on mute, resting, and then coming back in. And then there's various times I'm going to be teaching, sharing, ask us to share. We're going to have some trivia time. We're going to have some just solid prayer time, just listening to worship music time. So we're going to have all of that going on and some Bible reading time as well. We're going to be going through the word, reading the word together like we did that night, that Wednesday night, where we read the book of Psalms, 120 through 150. And so we'll be doing that as well. And we can read as long as y'all want to read, you know, so we could do that as well. There'll be parts and segments that we'll have, but I know, and we know we have sort of the layout done, but who knows what the Spirit is going to do. So I'm always open to the Spirit, especially when you're fasting. You got to be open to the Spirit. So point number one, gain victory against the enemy. We're going to find this in the book of Judges. The book of Judges, I have not taught from this yet. Book of Judges, chapter 20, verses 25 and 26. There is a very interesting thing that's going on I'm going to ask that someone would help me to by reading. That could be anybody. I know Roz is one of our resident readers. That's because her name starts with R. So Roz Reed. So it just kind of goes together. But there may be someone else too as well. But Judges chapter 20, verses 25 through 26. And just I want you to write this point down. Civil war. Civil war. There's a civil war going on in this passage. And I want you to write that down. Has nothing to do with Captain America and Iron Man. It has everything to do with the tribe of Benjamin and the other tribes of Israel. So civil war. Judges chapter 20, verses 25 and 26, if someone can read that.
I read Judges chapter 20, verses 25 to 26. But the men of Benjamin killed another 18,000 Israelites, all of whom were experienced with the sword. Then all the Israelites went up to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord and fasted until evening. They also brought burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord.
So we see here that, and read verse 26 one more time for me, please.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Read verse 26 for me one more time, please. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Then all the Israelites went up to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord and fasted until evening. They also brought burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord.
All right, so we see here that the tribe of Benjamin is coming against, and they actually killed, I believe the number was 18,000 Israelites. Okay, so they killed them. The other tribes, out of the other tribes, they killed 18,000 people. And then the other tribes of Israel, they went to the Lord. And verse 26 is the key. They went, and they went before the Lord. They went up and came to the house of God, Bethel. So they came to the house of God. They wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Okay. And then it says verse 27, which I didn't have her to read. It says, and the Israelites inquired of the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there at Bethel in those days. And if you continue to read on, you'll see that ultimately what happened was they gained victory over the Benjamites, the Benjamites. Yes. And so they gained victory over them. And so they gained victory. And it says in verse 35, and really verses 28 through 38 to get the whole picture, but I'll just cut to the chase. In verse 35, it says, and the Lord overcame Benjamin before Israel, and the Israelites destroyed of the Benjamites that day 25,100 men, all of whom were swordsmen. Okay, so they killed 25,100 men, all of whom were swordsmen. So I want you to see here that they gained victory over the enemy that was coming against them because they wept. And we'll see in another passage, mourning, weeping, fasting, all of that goes together. And so they fasted before the Lord. They inquired of the Lord. They got direction from the Lord. But then the Lord gave them victory over their enemy. And the connection to that is that they fasted in the process of getting victory over their enemy. Now, why is this significant? Because I want you to know that there's a civil war going on in you. A civil war is a war between individuals who are related, who are connected. They're fighting. They could be family. They could be part of the same group. They are connected in some way. Well, there's a civil war going on in you. There's your old man and your new man, the old woman and the new woman that are fighting constantly. And you got to know that in order to gain victory over your old self, over your old desires, over all the things that you wanted to do before and that you did do before you really came into relationship with the Lord, all those things that you fight against, those temptations that you fight against today, the real way to stand up and to fight and to win that civil war is by engaging not only in prayer and worship and the word, but in fasting. And we see that fasting is one of those, is one of the key connectors to making sure that we have the opportunity to win over the enemy. So the enemy is not always the person or the entity that's without, that's coming against you. The enemy can be enemy in me. Okay. So the enemy in me is what I have to fight against. That's that civil war. So when you first wrote that down, you probably were thinking about the devil coming against you, the enemy coming against you. No, we're also dealing with the old man, the old woman. And then when I say that, man, I want to just get that. I'm not, you know, I want to be, I want to let everybody know. I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about women, talking about us as human beings created in the image of God, that we have an old person that we have to fight against. That's the civil war. And this passage represents the civil war that's fighting, that's fought among family. And we are our own family. You know, it's you, your old man, your new man is fighting against one another. So I don't know how that came out, but you get what I'm saying. All right. Amen. Praise be to God. So any thoughts and comments about this particular scripture? Because this is what we're going to be praying, that God gives us the ability to win the civil war with ourselves, as well as the war against the enemy who's outside of us. All right, we good? Okay. All right, let's go to point number two. Focus area number two is to repent and seek God's mercy. To repent and seek God's mercy. That's point number two. We will find to repent and seek God's mercy. We will find this in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 16 and 17, and then verses 21 through 22. That's 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 16 and 17, and verses 21 and 22. I need somebody to go there, but there's also a second scripture that's connected with this point, and that is 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 27 through 29. 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 27 through 29. We will go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 16 and 17, and verses 21 and 22 now. So let's do that on this second point of repent and seeking God's mercy.
2 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 16 and 17 from the Amplified Version. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night repeatedly on the floor. 17. His older house servant arose in the night and went to him to raise him up from the floor, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Verse 21 and 22. Mm-hmm. Then his servants said to him, "What is this that you have done? You fasted and wept while the child was alive, but when the child was dead, you arose and ate food." 22. David said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me and let the child live?' 23. But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me."
All right. So thank you. And thank you for adding 23. I didn't add 23 in there. Thank you for adding 23. That goes with it. So y'all make the amendment on your notes. Verse 23 is included in that. That's why that's all the way from Mexico. Verse 23. All right. So listen, here's a point where seemingly it looks like fasting did nothing. That's what it looks like at first. And we talked about this before. Some of this is going to be review. We've talked about some of these verses before. And then some of them, there's going to be some new insight given to some of these scriptures that I'm going to give you. So David, he's fasting. Why? Mm-hmm. Who is he fasting over? He's fasting over his son, the child that came from Bathsheba. Mm-hmm. And so the union between him and Bathsheba, which was an adulterous union mm-hmm. between the two, she conceived and had a child. He had the husband, her husband, killed on the front lines mm-hmm. because he did not want the husband to find out that he fathered the child with his wife. Wow. And so David, this man of God, did all of that. Okay, so now that's so we already see God's mercy in effect. So here's the other thing that doesn't excuse what he did. What he did was sinful. There's no question about it. But the mercy of God is in effect. And so here's what happens. So he fasts because he wants the child to live.
Sure.
He does. He wants the child to live. Mm-hmm. The child does not live.
Right.
But he's not eating until he sees what the Lord is going to do. Once he sees what the Lord has allowed to have happen, mm-hmm. Once he sees this and witnesses this, what he does is he gets up, he begins to eat, and he goes on his way. He begins to worship and go and do the things that he would normally do. And so people say, well, wow, you know, you fasted and nothing happened. Well, something did happen because of his fasting. Even though what he was fasting for did not happen in the way that he desired for it to happen, mm-hmm. his fasting prepared him for the aftermath of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want you to write down. That's what I want you to get. His fasting prepared him for the aftermath of what happened. So it's not always getting what you want out of or the focus that you have of the fast, but it may be what happens because of what you're seeking does not happen. What happens because of that, because you were fasting, how you're able to stand up again and do the things that God wants you to do, how you're able to go on and continue to function in your life without losing your mind. A lot of that happens because you have chosen to fast, and there's another byproduct that happens. Not only are you trying to experience a closeness with God, and not only are you seeking God's mercy and his favor, but he did get the favor, not in the form of his son living, mm-hmm. but in the form of him being able to live after his son died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was the mercy that God gave him. That was the favor that God gave him, because it could have been David.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is the scripture that talks about repenting and seek God's mercy. So he was seeking God's mercy and he got it. He just didn't get it in the way that he thought he should get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he was resolved in that. And I believe fasting gave him the ability to say, you know, there's no need for me to fast anymore because I go unto him, but he can't come unto me. You know, the child is gone. He died. So now let's look at any thoughts or comments about that before we go to 1 Kings chapter 21. All right. 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 27 through 29. 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 27 through 29.
When Elijah finished speaking, Ahab tore his clothes, took them off, and put on sackcloth. He refused food, slept in the sackcloth, and went about gloomy and depressed. The Lord said to the prophet Elijah, "Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Since he has done this, I will not bring disaster on him during his lifetime. It will be during his son's lifetime that I will bring disaster on Ahab's family."
So there was one Sunday, I believe I preached this, or it may have been a Wednesday. It's all running together now. But I talked about this particular passage and how wicked Ahab was.
Yeah.
Ahab was wicked. He was evil. I mean, it was really talked about in this passage of scripture. If you read the verses that come before this, it really talks about how bad Ahab was. And then we get to the point of seeing and recognizing that it was through fasting that God actually had mercy on his life. He humbled himself before the Lord by fasting, as our sister read. And as he did that, the Lord's favor was upon his life. Now, so the sentence was removed from him, and it moved towards the next generation. But it was removed from him. The sentence was upon his life, but God had mercy upon him. Now, sin, now this shows us. Now, I want you to see something here. I didn't mean I didn't intend to talk about this piece that I'm going to share right now, but it just came up in my spirit. So I just need you to understand. And this happens to you too as well. This is not a phenomenon that happened to me. If the Holy Spirit will speak to you, if you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and he'll put things in your spirit and it's like, whoa, I didn't even think about that. So here's the thing about it. This shows us the beauty and the essence of Jesus. How is that? This is Ahab, a wicked man. We are like Ahab. Ahab had the penalty of his sin upon his life. He fasted. God had mercy on him. But the penalty still had to be paid. I need you to understand, the penalty still had to be paid. And so it was passed on to his son. Right? So there's a penalty still. This is how God works. Penalty still has to be paid. This is why it's important for us to understand. When we sing songs like Jesus paid it all, the penalty had to be paid. This is the importance of Jesus. Not just as a prophet, as the Muslims say, not just as a great man, as some Buddhists may say, or a great teacher, as some may say, but he's Lord and Savior because the penalty has to be paid. And Jesus paid that penalty so that we did not have to pay it. So not only do we not have to pay it, but our sons and our daughters don't have to pay it. And the next generation after them don't have to pay it. Why? Because Jesus paid it for us. Glory be to God. That ought to get you excited about Jesus. That ought to get you excited about the Lord, because this is a foreshadowing of the necessity of the payment of sin, the penalty and the payment of sin. But it doesn't mean that we have to incur that penalty anymore, because we are now under the one who has paid for our sin. Now we're freed from that, and we're given the opportunity to walk with God. Glory be to God. I'm excited. Aren't y'all excited tonight? Amen. Glory be to God. I know we on Zoom, but y'all ought to Zoom some praise up in here somewhere, somehow, right now, because that is a beautiful thing to know, that God designed this thing for penalties to be paid, but we don't have to pay it. It's paid already. It's like you going to the store, you walk in, you fill up your grocery cart, you come up and you pull up to the counter, and somebody says, go ahead and go into your car. Somebody just paid for everything that you got. I know you're going to walk out of that store skipping and hopping and praising God and thanking him and just giving him glory because somebody paid it up.
Right.
God. Right. All right, y'all. Whew. All right. Okay. All right. That's good there. I'm telling you, that's good there. That's good stuff. I didn't even have that down. I'm telling you, Spirit just dropped this, that you need to talk about the fact that I paid it all.
Paid it all.
All right. Okay. All right. So
Once and for all.
Once.
Yeah. One time.
You better preach. Hallelujah. Come on now. Yes. Once and for all. Paid Amen. All. Glory be to God. So as wicked as he was, as wicked as we are. As wicked as we are, Jesus paid it all. Yes. That penalty is done. All right. Whew, that's why I love him. All right. So anyway, so repent and seek God's mercy. I thank God for his mercy. Hallelujah. I thank God for his mercy. All right. So let's, I think I exhausted that point a little bit. So let's go to point number three. All right. Point number three. All right. Somebody put something in the chat. I missed it. Y'all read to me. I can't even.
I didn't see you.
What does the chat say, Sister Chanel? Oh, you can't hear. We can't hear you.
That was just me. I said, amen. That's all.
Oh, that's it. That's it. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Amen. All right. So point number three, We are entering into this fast to humble ourselves. We're entering into this fast to humble ourselves. If you want to put something else down, it's to tame your flesh. To tame your flesh. To humble ourselves. When you're fasting, I'm telling you right now, and here's the beautiful thing about it. When you're fasting and you're truly engaged in the fast, it's hard to cuss somebody out. I'm just going to be real with y'all. It's hard to sin. It's hard to engage in sin when you're fasting. There's something that transforms you when you're engaged in it. When you, I know I shouldn't have said that in that way. But anyway, I want you to understand. I want you to get my point. Sometimes I got to go there for you to get my point, right? That we are doing this to humble ourselves. And when you engage in consistent fasting, you put yourselves in a position to tame the flesh and to humble yourselves. To humble ourselves, us, all of us, I'm included in this, we're seeking to humble ourselves. So that means that we can't get prideful and boastful. It's hard to do. That's why Jesus was telling them, don't go out here just seeking somebody's attention when you fast and things of that nature, because that ain't what it's about. Right. You're supposed to be humbling yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to learn how to do that together consistently. So this is Ezra chapter 8. Verse 21 and then verse 31, Ezra chapter 8. We talked about this before as well. It was either Sunday or Wednesday. I don't remember. But Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 and then 31, not 21 through 31, 21 and then 31. Sure. Now you can read, for the sake of tonight, we're just going to read those two verses. But you can read 21 through 31. It'd be good that you do that. To go through that. So we got Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. So Ezra chapter 8.
21.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Chanel, hold up. Okay. Go ahead. And read 21 through 23 and then jump down to 31. Okay, so 21 through 23, and then jump down to 31. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No worries. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a straight and right way for us, our little ones, and all our possessions.
So they fasted so they might humble themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
They may want to humble themselves, right? And seek, so they want to humble themselves, all right? So, go ahead. They proclaimed a fast, humbled themselves. 22.
For I was ashamed to request of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us from the enemy along the way, because we had told the king, the hand of our God is upon all of them for good. Who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. Mm-hmm. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he heard our entreaty.
Okay, and verse 31.
We left the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the enemy and those who lay in wait by the way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now you can see certain themes happening. The reason why I wanted her to read that whole thing was because they humbled themselves, which is the key part. Verse 21 is really the key for this, this particular point, humbling ourselves. So we fasted. Okay. We proclaimed, he said, I proclaimed a fast there, Ezra said, at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves. So fasting is equated with or goes along with humility. Okay. But then I want her to read the rest, which we're going to come back to this because we can see several different things happening with these different points. And some of these scriptures are going to be going in between and all throughout and weaving throughout the different points. And so there's another point that we're going to make at the last point that's going to bring back the scripture of Ezra. Okay, so it's to humble ourselves. Fasting is to humble ourselves. Okay. So that's the point. So we're going to practice humility, taming the flesh, humbling ourselves. Okay. Because before we do that, Before we do anything, we must humble ourselves in order to seek God. Mm-hmm. In order to seek God. And then as we seek God, we can gain guidance from him, which is going to be one of our points that we're going to make at the end. All right. So that's number three. Fasting is to humble ourselves. Okay. So just imagine those three things being a part of an 8-hour block. Okay. Of just consistently focusing on those things. People are praying. You're going to be praying in the background. We're going to be praying all along. However somebody wants to pray, meaning that I may be speaking, but somebody may be praying while I'm speaking. They're going to be on mute, but they're going to be praying. We're going to be just constantly engaged on Friday. So point number four, we are fasting because one of the things that we want to do is this. We want to ask for God's blessing and help for any new task that is before us. We want to ask for God's blessing and help for any new task that is before us. Okay. And we're going to start rolling through these last four or five here. So we're asking for God's blessing and help for any new task. So anything that is new in your life, mm-hmm. we want you to bring it before the Lord on Friday. Mm-hmm. We want you to allow us to pray with you over that new task. This is found in Esther chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Esther, the book of Esther, chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. And in the book of Esther, we see that there was a situation where, I'll let somebody read it first and then we'll talk briefly about it. Esther chapter 4.
What verses?
Verses 15 and 16.
Okay, I have.
Okay.
He says, sure. Amplified, verse 15 says, then Esther told them to give this answer to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I also and my maids will fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.
Okay. So listen, I'm equating this to ideas, businesses, relationships, school decisions, any new task that somebody is seeking, any new task that is before you, we're going to be praying and focusing on them. Why? Because here Esther has a new task. Mm-hmm. She is tasked with going before the king. Mm-hmm. This is something that's not done mm-hmm. on a regular, unannounced. You don't just walk up and roll up on the king. You know, that just was not done. This was totally new, totally new. And so there was a need for her to have not only Mordecai and the Jews to fast for her, but then she would fast for herself as well in preparation for God to give her the ability to face this new task. Mm-hmm. Some of us are afraid. Some of us are fearful of what that new task may bring. She said, if I perish, I perish. It doesn't matter, but I am going to do this thing. If I fail, I fail, but I'm going to do it. I want to put it in the context of where I'm going. If we fail at doing something, we fail, but we can never succeed at it if we never try. Okay. So you got to have the attitude. I'm going to do this. And if I fail, I fail. But if I succeed, watch out. That's what we're talking about. If I succeed, watch out. Come on, Mother Mama. You with me? All right. All right. Sister Mother, you with me? All right. So I know everybody with me. So anyway, I want you to know that this is about asking for God's blessing and help for any new task that you may be facing. And so you see how we can apply this to various areas of our lives.
New changes in our lives.
Yes, new changes in our lives. Yes, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. So anything that we're facing that we're fearful about, this is what we're coming to the Lord about. Mm-hmm. God gave us something new, but we don't know how to do it. I don't know if I should enroll in school. Why not? What you fear for, what you're afraid of. If you fail, you fail. But if you don't and you succeed, watch out, you know? Mm-hmm. All right. So that's number four. Number five is this. We're going to be seeking revelation and wisdom from God. We're going to be seeking revelation and wisdom from God. We want to know from God what he's speaking to us. What is he saying to us? How can we begin to see God in all that we do? How can we begin to hear God in the things that are in the natural realm, things that we hear every day? How can we begin to hear God in those things? And so we want to seek revelation and wisdom from God, wisdom in our decision-making, wisdom in the things that we have to make any decision about. We want to make sure that we have God's revelation and wisdom with us as we're doing those things. So that's what we're seeking. Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 through 3. So that's Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 through 3. And then verses 21 and 22. So Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 through 3. And then verses 21 and 22. If I can have someone to read that.
Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 through 3. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord, as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. Verses 21 and 22.
Mm-hmm.
As I was praying, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. He explained to me, "Daniel, I have come here to give you insight and understanding."
And so it says here, it says in verse, now what version did you read there?
New Living.
Okay, New Living. Okay, that's good. Insight and understanding. And then the Amplified says, I'm now come forth to give you skill and wisdom and understanding. So skill, wisdom, understanding. This is the revelation of God. God is able to give you skill, wisdom, and understanding. So and that goes with new tasks. I mean, you got new tasks. You just need some new skills as well. But here, Daniel's engaged in fasting and prayer. And as he's praying, while engaged in fasting, what happens is there is this revelation from the angel Gabriel. And he was sent there to give him wisdom and skill and understanding and insight. Okay. These things are brought forth from putting yourself in a position of fasting. Okay. You're humble, you're taming your flesh. You're putting yourself in a position.
You fixed it.
Amen. Put yourself on mute. I believe Sister Diane, maybe it came on. Okay. So prayer and fasting. Is the key here, and it's to seek revelation and wisdom. And that's what this passage in Daniel tells us and gives us an understanding of. Now let's go to point six. So we have to be in a position where we, here's the point I want to make. Okay. We want to mourn over our personal sins and failures. We want to mourn over our personal sins and failures. That's why we're going to be fasting. We're going to mourn. What does it mean to mourn? To be sorry for, to be sorrowful for our personal sins and failures. God wants us to be sad about disappointing him. I don't know about you, but as a child growing up, I hated to disappoint my parents. I hated to disappoint them. You know, you feel bad when you end up disappointing someone. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we are showing God that we are sorry and that we are mourning over our personal sin. Now, it doesn't mean, or our failures, it doesn't mean that we just get stuck there. But I want to show you in Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and in verse 15, which serves as the theme scriptures. As the theme scripture, Joel chapter 2, really, you know, I can say 12 through 15, but verse 12 and verse 15 of Joel chapter 2, if I can have someone read 12 and then read 15, and then we're in the home stretch.
Okay.
I can read it.
Okay, go ahead.
Amplified. Therefore, also now, says the Lord, turn and keep on coming to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, mm-hmm. until every hindrance is removed and the broken fellowship is restored.
Okay, that's verse 12, right?
That's verse 12.
Right. He said, turn to me and keep on turning, coming towards me, right? Keep on. So what does that mean? Turn from me means to turn away from the sins and the failures that we have experienced, right? But he says, turn and come with what? Mourning. Read that again, sister.
Come with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning until every hindrance is removed and the broken fellowship is restored.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we see here that last part says it all. There's a broken fellowship. What breaks the fellowship with God? Sin. What breaks the fellowship with God? Our failure to follow him.
Disobedience.
That's why it says, turn to me and keep coming.
And keep on.
There's a broken fellowship. So we need to mourn over that broken fellowship, over our sins and our failures that have caused that broken fellowship to take place. And God will restore when we fast and mourn and weep over those things. God will restore. I'm expecting us to cry out unto God, to be sorrowful. Have you ever cried about breaking God's heart? Have you ever been sorrowful about hurting God? God wants us to be sorrowful about the things that we've done against him, against his will, being disobedient, things of that nature. Okay, so verse, what's the next, verse 15?
Blow the trumpet in Zion, set apart a fast, a day of restraint and humility, call a solemn assembly.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. It's exactly what we're doing. Okay, so this is, we're going to restore some broken relationships with God. That's what we want to do. So we want to be prepared. It's always going to be a good fry. It's going to be a good one. All right. Praise be to God. I thank him. Now, let's go focus point number 7.
Okay.
That we're going to have is to totally honor God. To totally honor God. That's point number 7. To totally honor God. All right. So we want to. Let's go to, this is going to be the Old Testament scripture here. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 5. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 5. And Zechariah is right before Malachi, which ends the Old Testament. And then you hit Matthew. So if you hit Matthew, if you know where Matthew is, go back 2 books and it'll be Zechariah. All right. So that's right. So. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 5. Someone can read that.
Verse 5. Speak to all the people of the land and to the priest, saying, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months, even those 72 years you were in exile, was it for me that you fasted? For me.
So listen, that's the question. Was it for me that you fasted? For me? Okay, so in essence, Are you totally honoring me in the fast? God wants us to totally honor him. So he questions them. Were you fasted all those years? Were you fasting for me? You know? Okay. And so it's all about understanding that we have to honor God in our fast. He talks about this in Isaiah 58. He talks about this. It's that making sure that it's a fast that honors him. Okay. That totally honors God. Okay. Now,
Pastor, is that making a distinction between fasting for a relationship and closeness with God versus fasting for a breakthrough, fasting for someone else? Or is that making a distinction between those things? Like, you can fast for wisdom, honor, but I just want you to fast for a relationship.
This is really all about relationship. Okay. This piece is about understanding the relationship. Okay. Because it's, and says, and when you ate and when you drank, did you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? So there are things that they did for them, but they were not doing the fasting part for God. Okay. Mm-hmm. Meaning that giving God honor and glory. Okay. Should you not hear and then verse 7 says, should you not hear the words which the Lord cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity with her cities round about her in the south of Negev, and the lowlands were inhabited? He says, and the word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, thus has the Lord of hosts spoken, execute true judgment and show mercy and kindness and tender compassion every man to his brother. So now what you're getting into is you're getting into the types of things that should come forth from the particular engagement in fasting. But he goes back, and let's go back to verse 5. Speak to all the people in the land of the priests, saying, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months, even though 70 years you were in exile, was it for me that you fasted? For me? So this question, it just calls into judgment the purpose and the motive behind fasting. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it has to be to honor God. Okay. It has to be to honor God. This is where Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 comes into play. Let's look at that real quick. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. I know we're getting real close on time here. I know somebody has to leave at 8. This is being recorded. Bless you. So Matthew chapter 6. Verse 16. Jesus gives instruction on this. He says, and our reading says, and whenever you are fasting, do not look gloomy and sour and dreary like the hypocrites, for they put on dismal countenance that their fasting may be apparent to and seen by men. Truly, I want to say to you, they have their reward in full already. They're not fasting for God. They're fasting for their own selfish reward, gain, and attention. Okay. So Jesus is saying, much like Zechariah is saying, it's all about honoring God and not bringing honor to yourselves. Okay. So God says, Zechariah, you ate for yourselves, but you need to fast for me. Okay. So otherwise, why you give up, you know, why you fast? Why are you fasting? Okay. So, I'm going to throw in here Luke chapter 2, not throw in, but I'm going to add Luke chapter 2, verse 37, Luke chapter 2, verse 37 with this point. And it says here in the Amplified, and as a widow, even then, this is woman that we talked about on Sunday. And as a widow, even for 84 years, she did not go out from the temple enclosure, but was worshiping night and day with fasting and prayer. You can't tell me if she's fasting and praying all that time, mm-hmm. and did not leave and just stayed there, mm-hmm. she was totally honoring God.
Yeah.
That wasn't for show. You can't keep up a show that long. Mm-hmm. So this woman was totally committed to it. And that's what fasting helps us to be, more committed to God and to do it for him. Number eight. Okay. This is going to bring back. We're not going to read the Esther passage again, but it's to intercede on behalf of others. Fasting is to intercede on behalf of others. Now I'm going to show you. Now this is the two scriptures, the Esther scripture, which we went over, Esther chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. When Esther told Mordecai, fast for me, tell all the Jews to fast for me. And then we're going to fast for me. I'm going to fast for me too. But I need everybody fasting for me as I prepare to do this new task, right? That was under that one. Mm-hmm. But the scripture also goes with this, is to intercede on behalf of others. So the Jews and Mordecai were fasting for Esther.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm going to take you to another passage of scripture. And I want us to go there. Mark chapter 9, verses 25 through 29. Boy, the word of God is so beautiful. when you get into it and you start understanding some stuff, it's like, wow, this is the living word of God. Mark chapter 9, verses 25 through 29. If you have that, you go ahead and read.
24. At once, the father of the boy gave an eager, piercing, inarticulate cry with tears, and he said, Lord, I believe, constantly help my weakness of faith.
But okay, so that's the father saying, okay, so help my unbelief, right? So we're familiar with that, right?
Right.
So let's go to 25. Go ahead, read 25.
But when Jesus noticed that a crowd of people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you to come out of him and never go into him again. And after giving a hoarse, clamoring, fear-stricken shriek of anger, of anguish, and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy lay pale and motionless like a corpse, so that many of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took a strong grip of his hand and began lifting him up, and he stood. And when he had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not drive it out? And he replied to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting.
All right. So you're saying to me, Pastor, mm-hmm. how's this interceding on behalf of others? Mm-hmm. Here's how. Okay. Notice that Jesus was saying that it's a combination of prayer and fasting that builds the belief to drive demons like this out, right? To drive whatever it is out of this boy. Mm-hmm. So what's the reason for the fast? The reason for the fast is to be prepared to have the belief enough to drive out demons who may have encountered somebody else's life. So you are interceding or you are fasting on behalf of someone else because you are preparing yourself through your fast to help them. You get what I'm saying? See, it ain't about you. It ain't all about you. Your intercession through fasting prepares you to help somebody else's life, to free them up, to show them the way, to give them an opportunity to stand back up, to get a demonic force out of their lives, to begin to seek and see and understand who God is, to have revelation and wisdom. All those things that we're talking about, this is what you're doing, preparing yourself to help somebody else to get to that same point. So your fast is for others. You're interceding. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, and I know that portion I just taught is not commonly associated with intercession, mm-hmm. but that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're interceding
for others.
For others to cast some demons out of somebody else. All right, fasting is a part of that process. So the last one, the last point that we're going to focus on Friday would be, we're right after 8 o'clock, bless you. If you can hang on 1 second. The last one is to obtain guidance and teaching from the Holy Spirit. To obtain guidance and teaching from the Holy Spirit. To obtain guidance and teaching from the Holy Spirit. That's why we fast, so that we can obtain guidance and teaching from the Holy Spirit, directly from the Holy Spirit. Okay. So now this is closely related to revelation and wisdom, which was point number 5, closely related to this. But I want you to see here, the reason why it's separate is because the revelation and wisdom can come forth from God. But the guidance, and this is what this is the main word that I want to focus on, the guidance mm-hmm. on what to do or how to carry it out comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to carry the wisdom and the revelation of God out. So we want to seek guidance from the Holy Spirit. So this is found in Acts chapter 13, verses 2-3. I need somebody to go there quickly. Acts chapter 13. Verses 2-3. Okay, so this guidance, understanding which way to go, what to do, guidance, guide me, God, lead me in the right direction, God. I want to make sure that I'm going down the right path. Acts chapter 13, verses 2-3. Very familiar passage if you've been with us during this time period. For those who have not, you're hearing this for the first time, who may be hearing this recording, just want you to know that this is a great passage to look at, Acts chapter 13, verses 2-3, to understand the power of the guidance of the Holy Spirit. All right, so anybody there?
I did.
Okay.
Acts 13, 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate now for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they put their hands on them and sent them away.
Okay, so we see here that they were, as they were ministering, they were worshiping to, they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, who said that?
The Holy Spirit,
right?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit said, "Separate now from me." Now, so this guidance. I'm going to give you this guidance. "Separate now from me." The Holy Spirit saying, "For me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them." There's a work to do. So I need you to know that there's guidance that is happening here. He's guiding them to understand that Saul and Barnabas, which will later be Paul, mm-hmm. are going to have to leave that assembly and go and begin to do the work. They could only come to this point by being guided by the Holy Spirit. How were they guided by the Holy Spirit? Through fasting and worshiping the Lord. So that's how they did it. Then after fasting and praying, they put their hands on them and sent them away. So they fasted and prayed again and then sent them away. So understanding this, the importance is that we will be seeking guidance by the Holy Spirit. If you go back to the book of Ezra, you have to turn there. I'm just going to reference it because we said in point number 3, whatever notes you put down in point number 3 of humble ourselves in that passage, the reason why I had her to read the whole thing was so that we won't have to read it again now. But Ezra chapter 8, verses 21-23, and then verses 31-32 talks about Ezra wanting to get guidance from God so that they'll know the path to take so that they can be protected. And in verses 31-32, through that fasting and humbling themselves, they got that guidance. And it says that they were able to arrive in Jerusalem. They were able to arrive back home, being protected by God from the enemy. So they were protected by God from the enemy. So God gave them the right path to go down, to walk, and to carry all their possessions and everything that they were carrying out of captivity back into their home, back to the comfort of their home. And so he gave them guidance on how to do that. We're going to be seeking, and we're going to close Saturday out. Saturday morning. We're going to close Saturday morning seeking guidance from the Holy Spirit. Our prayer team is going to start praying at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning. They're going to be praying. And we're going to be, you know, our intercessory prayer warriors. And we're all going to join in with them. We are all intercessors at that point. We're all going to be praying. We're going to be prayer after prayer after prayer, seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So that when we break our fast, when we have breakfast together, what does that mean? Breakfast, break fast. We're going to break our fast together with Holy Communion at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. We're going to break fast. We have breakfast. And then we're just going to celebrate and go on with the rest of our time, basking in the glory of those 24 hours, or go back to bed, or whatever you got to do. But we are going to definitely give God glory for what he's going to do in those 8-hour segments, 3 8-hour segments. Glory be to God. 24 hours, 8, the number of new beginnings. Each new segment will declare a new beginning in our life, representing the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Somebody talk to me tonight before we leave by saying amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
To God be the
amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Praise be to God. All right.
Amen.
All right, so we'll see y'all 8 o'clock Eastern, Friday morning.
Friday morning.
Whoever's on, we rolling. We're going to go with it. If it ain't nobody but me looking at my device, I'm going to roll in this. So if you want, but listen, if you need to, once again, you may want to get up early, get you something to eat. You may want to get some fruit, something to eat, whatever. And then from 8 o'clock on, we're rolling. However you're going to have your fast go on, but just understand this, we are asking that you will stay away from, you know, the television or, things that take your focus off of God. You know, we want you to stay focused, play some worship music. We're going to have worship music playing, stay away from the media, the news, all that. Whatever happens, we're going to know about it on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But we're going to dedicate a time to the Lord. And this is nothing, y'all. Giving God 24 hours is nothing. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, dedicating it. But have we really done it? And so we're going to start this process of doing it. And we're going to do it starting Friday morning. So we'll see you good Friday morning. It's going to be a good Friday message at 12 noon. We're going to have a number of things going on. But not a lot of busy stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not a lot of busy stuff. Okay. And we're going to post throughout the day, and I'll do a posting. We'll post kind of the flow of things. But we just want you to, I don't want you to get so focused on what we're going to do next, Mm-hmm. I want you to get into the flow of God. Mm-hmm. I want you to get into the flow of God. We're just going to enjoy God and one another, seek his face, mm-hmm. and just celebrate being believers in Jesus Christ. Right. What's wrong with that? All right. So God bless you. Love you. God be with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, keep us at peace until we meet again. Allow your grace and your mercy to be with us all. We're excited. We ask that you would bless the 24-hour period on April the 2nd. Give us, Father, the opportunity to draw nigh unto you as you draw nigh unto us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Deacon Tony, do we have prayer in the morning?
Yes, we do.
We do. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
She said at 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock or the regular time.
Tomorrow at 6:45.
Regular time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to start at 8, so Friday morning. All right. But in the morning, y'all got prayer.
Regular.
All right. Yeah. All right. Okay. Bless you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Bless you.
Bless you, Sister Linda. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.